All right. That was from 2013, believe it or not, from the new music guru and producer from Italy, Andrea Bernini. And this particular album from which this song comes features Fred Wesley, and you might know that name. Fred Wesley was the famous trombonist with the James Brown Band, and Anthony Joseph, a lyricist and poet from the Caribbean, from my country, as a matter of fact, Trinidad and Tobago. And this is called Run Around. This is from the new music, as I mentioned, 2013, the one of the newest albums of Andrea Bernini as he launched this genre of music. The album is titled Isle of Magic. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead. And we're going to have a pretty interesting discussion today, I hope. And it centers on guns, America's favorite subject, and America's favorite product, guns. We are all outgunned in America. And the recent spate of mass killings once more brings to our attention that this is not a country unfamiliar with guns. Not at all. In fact, it was very proud, it still is very proud of its history of having guns and the use of guns for specific purposes. And those specific purposes were to wipe out the undesirables and save the land for white people. So guns have an almost sacred place in American historiography and iconography. And it is interesting that in the aftermath, the immediate aftermath of these killings in Boulder, Colorado, and in the suburbs or the metropolitan area of Atlanta, suddenly we just can't deal with it. It is so overwhelming. It is so new to us, this level of violence. We have to do something about it. Where you been? Okay. Well, the first and most notable thing about guns, and I'm speaking about in contemporary America, is that there are more guns than people in the United States. And there are 330 million people in the United States, but more than 400 million guns. How come? How did this happen? And why is it allowed to happen and continue to happen that we have more guns than people in any country? What does that say about that country? But I digress. Let me get straight to the matter so that we're all headed in the same direction. So, as I was saying, these recent lone gunmen mass killings in Atlanta, Georgia, and Boulder, Colorado have brought the country once again to a familiar place, questioning why these kinds of crimes happen and what can be done to prevent them from continuing to happen. It is so. Even as I'm saying this, I am wondering, how is it that nobody noticed? The questions repeatedly have been asked and by the way, they also have been answered. Mountains of information and data and rafts of policies and directives and laws are proof. This is a question that is not new. The country has been wrestling with this question, or these questions, which I consider fundamental, for quite some time. So why are we back to square one on this and still not getting the kinds of information needed to inform new policies and approaches? I say there are reasons. I don't consider them legitimate reasons, but there are reasons that this matter has been boiling in a cauldron for quite a long time now. But as I said, here we are. 330 million people and more than 4 million guns. What do you expect to come out of a dynamic like that? So I turn to you, the trusted great thinkers of America. What is going on here? What is being missed? What is the reason that we still keep asking these same stupid questions? And we are no closer to a solution about this. What is the reason? There are many reasons, I think. And that too, people are very shy. In fact, they're downright obsessed with the idea of not discussing it. How could we possibly expect anything different from that kind of dynamic? 330 million people, 400 million guns. And in the hands of people with all kinds of psychiatric, psychological, all kinds of reasons they give for having a gun. Why is it that this country, more than most countries, why is it that this country is so obsessed with guns? What is the symbolism of guns in America? And why is a nation, as a nation of laws, they like to say, it's a nation of laws. How is it that this nation of laws has tolerated gun lawlessness for so many years? They're quite well adjusted to it. And only when we see a certain dynamic emerging, there is a hue and cry, and people are concerned. Yes, they are concerned about the deterioration of the society because they marry it now to other things, like the wrong people having guns. And the people who have guns, we can't trust them. And they don't trust us. And now we get into one dynamic after the other, but we simply are not getting to the truth. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's talk about guns. The strategic importance of guns in our society. And how it is that though we are an outgunned nation, we had settled for it and accommodated it for so long. And we liked the idea of all these guns. How is it that at one point we loved guns? Guns are good. And all of a sudden from, you know, we see these incidents occurring and they're very embarrassing. Yes, they tarnish the nation's excellent reputation as responsible gun owners. But something has to be done. But what? This is way too big for us to handle. We suddenly become mere mortals. All these years down the line of the systematic use of guns in all different kinds of ways to achieve all different kinds of objectives in reordering society. Who is to be in charge? Who is to be protected? Who is to be slaughtered? Who is to be gotten rid of? We figured these tough questions all along the way, it seems. But then we keep asking the same annoying questions. Why do these mass killings happen as if they haven't been happening all these years? So what is the truth of guns and mass killings and American official attitudes toward that dynamic? 888-874-4888. Let's get some brave soul to get us started today. I just did my bit. I introduced the subject. And now I am ducking. I'm going to let you talk. What is the reason that we come back to these questions and are coming back to these kinds of questions now? What is the reason? I wonder. Sweets from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hey, Trace. How you doing?
Hi. Okay.
You know, it's interesting. When you look at this country, I say race is a big problem. A big main culprit and driver of this thing. When people came and they gave them land, they also gave them a gun as part of the expansion, moving, you know, this settling in America. Are you familiar with Rex 84?
No.
Rex 84 is a government memorandum, and it talked about how it comes under the, what's that, FEMA, how they break the country down to various zones and how you can arrest people. And that there is promulgated by the police, the military, et cetera, et cetera. But it also says that we understand that there's a problem between our white citizens and the black citizens. What do we have to do to make the white citizens happy? And in this government document, it says that all of these militias with these guns are automatically deputized. And this morning I saw an article in South Carolina, the state legislature is now saying that we need to make every citizen over 17 automatic members of militias. This way you can't take away their guns. I just read that this morning. This is crazy. You know, if you go around the country and you visit, like Walmart, they sell guns. I was upstate, New York. I saw a pink rifle, a pink camouflage rifle.
Well, that's for us ladies, you know, we're very beauty conscious. We like our guns to match our nails.
And, in some places, in school, taking up, I don't know what to call the class, but it's an elective. I seen somebody break down a rifle and the other kid comes right behind him and reassembles it. So it's a certain culture that promulgates this, and then part of it is prompted by fear. Now, Robert F. Williams, he wrote Negroes with Guns, which came out of an interview that he did at BAI, and there's another book called The Negro and the Gun, where you have different people in our history who said, like Ida B. Wells, make sure you got that Winchester up over your fireplace. You know what I mean? And I was surprised that Clarence Thomas, there was an article, a brother in Chicago was fighting to get a gun, and they would not give it to him. And the case went to the Supreme Court because he said, in my neighborhood, the only people with the guns is the hoods, the hoodlums, rather. Of course, he was able to get his gun, but I was very surprised because in Clarence Thomas's decision, he posed the question, who benefits when you take away guns from black people? And then he started mentioning the flowers or the camellia or something like that, and all these different organizations that I'd never heard of before. And he talked about how people would come in and take your gun out your house. So it left you bare and unable to protect your families. So, you know, the gun is an interesting thing because the gun itself is not the issue. It's whose hands is in and what their mindset is and what they believe is, sacrosanct to them.
Put yourself in the here and now. We've just come through two mass shootings, two mass killings. What does that cause you to think about?
Who's next? You know, after the Industrial Revolution, and now with IA, there's a certain group of people who are no longer necessary for this economy. In fact, that are looked upon as useless feeders. And with the craziness that you see of how our people are betrayed, you know, it looks like we're expendable. So
does that apply, you think, to the Chinese women who were shot down and the people who were in the supermarket, 10 of them killed?
Yes, because all of us fit under the category of the other. Now, I don't know the victims in the grocery store, those 10 people, but of the Asians, yes, they would be the other. And since they have been scapegoated like everybody else, and even poor white folks, you know what I mean? I wouldn't say that just melanated people are victims, but, you know, you don't fit in. It's a different kind of mentality. And we know that they backwards. We know that they backwards. And I visited the NRA headquarters myself, and it was a very interesting place. Of course, there wasn't too many people in there looking out like me. And I did wear my Trained by Nat Turner shirt while I was there. And, when you go to the stores, when you go to the Walmart, very few black folks buying guns or buying ammunition. And it's by and large as everybody else. Something to think about.
Well, you got us started today, and I'm hoping that people would use what you presented so far as a jumping off point to continue the conversation. But I want to thank you for getting us properly started today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Therese.
Thanks. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Therese. How are you?
Okay, good afternoon, Ed.
Oh, okay. let's start off from the beginning as far as guns in America, because there are a lot of myths that we have to disabuse ourselves from pertaining to the gun and pertaining to America. Everybody holds up the Second Amendment. To paraphrase the Second Amendment, basically it states that a well-regulated militia is necessary for the security and freedom of the state. So the right of people to bear arms shall not be infringed upon. So we take that in context. The Constitution is a living document. At the time that this was written, this country was in danger of being taken over by Britain, by Europeans, by Britain, by France, by the other colonists. They were trying to establish themselves. So everyone, every able-bodied man in the colony kept his musket at the ready, the missile, the Minutemen, to repel the invaders. At this present time, we don't need that anymore. There is no viable threat to American soil in this world. We've got the largest army. We've got more than enough weapons on a level to destroy the planet 3-4 times over. And I know that because I served in the military for 4 years and worked on some of these precise weapon systems. So why do we still pertain to cling to this myth? Two reasons. Number one, capitalism. There is a lot of money in the production of weapons. There are large amounts of money that are made. There's large amounts of political control that's instituted by the NRA, by Smith & Wesson, by other gun producers and dealers in this country. So it's capitalism, it's money, it's the right for me to make money at all costs, at any cost. That's one thing about guns. The second thing about guns is the myth that you can defend yourself with a gun. Americans believe this wondrous myth. It goes back into the old West days when the cowboy rides into town and Wired Up and Billy Kidd, all these other people. To be truthfully honest with you, the Bowie knife was the most popular weapon during Western times because people couldn't afford a gun. And if you could afford a gun prior to the Civil War, it was a sloppy piece of garbage. And when you fired it, you were lucky if it didn't blow up in your hands. The truth of the matter is, after the Civil War, that's when mass production of weapons became prevalent throughout the United States, and the availability of guns increased after the war between the states. So that being said, with these myths and misunderstandings on what a gun is, what a gun can do, how a gun can empower you, they've got to be taken away. It's difficult because we live in a capitalist society, and there's money involved, and people have invested fortunes in the idea that the gun gives you power. And besides the fact of that, a gun is useless without bullets. So that being said, I mean, we've got to disabuse ourselves of this myth that this gun, that the gun, the way of the gun is some type of way of the United States. It never was. It never has been. It's only here. Even the NRA has changed its philosophy from the mid-1980s, when they were just basically a group of individuals, hunters and outdoorsmen, trying to improve their aim in the military and working in the military to improve the aim and marksmanship of members, to the 1980s when they became a political power and changed the scope. They've even tried to change the argument as far as the NRA had some connection to the Reformation and helping free slaves as far as with guns are concerned. So this, you've got to know your history, and you've got to be able to read, and you've got to be able to think, because history is turned in this country to profit those who make money off of it.
So how do you see it in the context of the way this issue with guns, gun ownership, and the lethality of guns, or potential lethality, that guns seem to be in the wrong hands, and two, guns are not being effective anymore, except in certain communities. Guns are prevalent. They're all over the place. Some communities are super saturated with guns. But in the case of the mass killings that we just have come through, how do you equate, or how do you equate, I should ask, do you equate the nation's concern with a genuine concern about responsible gun ownership, or is there something else happening there?
Well, you've got to look at it from two sides. Anytime we have one of these mass shootings, everybody goes, all of the politicals and the pundits and the talking heads go off on, oh, we got to regulate, blah, 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 and gun control. You've got a two-sided coin here. One, the prevalence and easy availability of a gun. We need to have, in my opinion, we need to have a national standard of gun evaluation and gun ownership, because we don't need to have regulated militias to defend the country's freedom anymore, which is basically what the Second Amendment refers to and what people use as the paramount to defend their right to have a gun. The Constitution is a living document. Things have changed since then, number one. Number two, we need to have some type of national health care system to address the mental illness that is prevalent in this country. We're going through another crisis situation where people have lost jobs, where people have lost homes, where people have lost loved ones, and we have no established mental health organization or national mental health outreach to help these people deal with the consequences of loss and the consequences of this corona crisis, this coronavirus crisis. We got a lot of people under a lot of pressure, and when people get under pressure, they do strange things. And unless we take those two things into account, the mental health of this country and the prevalence of violent weapons such as guns, that would allow people to vent what they feel is their right or their paranoia out on the general public, we're always going to have this problem. We got to seriously, years ago, we used to seriously have discussions about guns. We had pros and cons. We used to have a sincere debate. Now, everybody's caught up with emotion. They're caught up with color personality and feelings. And there is no intelligent discussion about how we're going to handle the situation with the prevalence of guns and the mental health of the people of this country. And until we stop playing games and dancing around this cult of politics and this cult of personality and really get down to sit down and say, look, this is the problem. Here's some solutions. Let's try to be proactive. We're going to be talking about this again. There's another somebody out there with a bunch of bullets and a gun getting ready to do something to make this look like it was something else.
Thank you. Thank you for your very considered opinion today. Thank you. G from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Peace and blessing, family. How are you, young lady?
Fine. I'm thankful to good, still good. Be living and breathing.
Okay, I tell you, it is hard to follow the gentleman. I learned a lot from his passionate conversation and emotions. But I take another take on this. Right after this Colorado shooting, this is what I told my wife, okay? We're a little older. She's 70. And, you know, I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, the reason why we got a gun permit is for you and I to carry a gun. I said, we live in the suburbs, and there's a movie theaters and shopping centers, and it seems that there's mass shootings, you know, places where we take our grandchildren and places where we go. So we've been going to the shooting range, in Connecticut, and we're going to have to keep on working on our skills. And so every time I go to the store and I'm a licensed gun owner, I carry my gun, and I feel very comfortable with my gun. A couple of weeks ago, matter of fact, I just bought an AR-15, which they'll consider an assault weapon. I was wondering why Americans are in love with the AR-15. So I purchased one, and I went to the driving range. And I enjoy shooting.
Shooting range.
Okay? Ma'am?
The shooting range.
The shooting range. I'm sorry. Okay. I haven't played golf in so many years. Maybe this spring.
But don't play golf with your gun. That's the most important
okay.
thing. Do carry a
okay.
golf club when you're on the range.
Okay, so now when I go to the shooting range, okay, I want to let you guys know, right? I mean, as far as the power and that weapon, oh my goodness, it's such a thrill, right? And like I said, I don't kill Bambi. I don't. I'm just saying, as far as sports and target, now I know why they want the AR. And in Connecticut, where I live at, we can't carry a magazine of more than 30. So I bought 3 of 10. So I can see why that Second Amendment is so important. And when they shot the brother Castillo, the NRA did not come to his defense. So I immediately dropped being a member of the NRA years ago because they're not coming to the defense of people that look like us and people of color. They're not helping us. So I think that most people, right, you should get trained. And if you don't have any kind of mental illnesses, you should carry a weapon. Because in America, whether we like it or not, this nation is not giving up their weapons. And I believe that the Second Amendment was for what? For corrupt governments that want to come into your home and disarm you and also take away your constitutional rights. During New Orleans,
let me ask you this question.
Yes.
The simple statistic that I started off the program with today.
And I'm sorry, I didn't listen to the front program, sorry.
Well, okay, here it is. It's fairly easy to comprehend. 330 million Americans, that includes babies and young kids and everybody, but 400 million guns. Is it that people are so intrigued with the idea of target practice, or is something else accounting for this lopsided equation here? 330 million people, 400 million guns.
Well, I think there's a bigger play where this nation as a whole is in love with dominance and murder and with weapons of mass destruction, which a gun, in the simplest term, can definitely be, as we see with these shootouts. So I think it's just the psychology of America, of the conquest and of taking and of all over the world, and just basically the Western society of just using, you know, just destruction and power of killing. So this accounts for the manufacturers of Americans being in love with the gun and shooting, whereas, you know, and then, you know, they, a lot of people say, well, they like to hunt, you know, but they really don't want to hunt, you know. Like, I can tell you straight up, I love the power, okay, of going to the range, okay. Now, in Connecticut, there's also outdoor ranges, which is cool. You know, it's like, I don't know, it maybe is a macho thing, but I'm going to be honest with you. It is some power that you get in that, whether you use it for sports or whether you use it. And then the military, of course, uses the power to conquest and for murder. So it goes psychological, you know, warfare, where we have a mental illness with murder, power, guns, and dominance, to put it lightly.
Does that frighten you?
Yes, it does. Because it frightens me, because I tell myself, I say, you know something, Victor, look, right now, you know, and as of 2 weeks ago, I'm going to get a big, giant safe. I'm going to have my guns and my rifles. I said, you know something, Victor? I said, look how easy. No, it does frighten me. You know that? Because we have to think. And I'm saying, wow, you know, I'd be careful when my grandchildren come over. And I'm saying, wow, look how easy it is for, and I look across from my neighbor, that one of my neighbors is a little unstable. I'm saying, you know something? And, you know, we had conversations, and when I first moved in, and he told me how, you know, because here, and I'm not going to say just white people, you know, but people talk guns. Seriously, when you talk in the suburbs, it's like, wow, I grew up in New York City, so you didn't really talk guns unless you was in gangs and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But in Connecticut and other places in the suburbs and stuff and homes, people talk guns. So, and I was like, man, I'm so happy when he told me that they took away his guns. You know how people just have conversations, they feel comfortable, you have a beer, you know. And he said, yeah, you know, they took away my guns, because I was, oh, my goodness, I'm so happy they took away his guns. So there's a lot of people walking around with guns, okay, that I'm saying they shouldn't have guns. So me personally, okay, I want you to have as much background information as possible. When I moved to Connecticut and I went for my gun permit, let me tell you, so you know what they told me? They denied me and told me I had two felonies when I was 17 years old. I had to go to New York City. I had to go to criminal court. I had to go get, you know, depositions from cases from when I was 17 years old. So I'm glad they did that. I had to be. So I don't understand when people say that, you know, what's the problem with a background check? What's the problem in having the, you know, to find out whether you have mental abuse or when you have, you know, abuse and you know, what's the problem? If people that fight that, then that's the problem. Okay. Do as much checking as you can, because I mean, just having people think that you have a gun, right? Do you understand that I have a gun? And if a person comes into my house, right, and I shoot them, do you not understand that I'm going to jail? You see, people think that you have a gun, right? Or if I go somewhere and there's a, you know, if I'm in a store and somebody's trying to stick somebody up and I take out my gun, do you understand that I'm going to go to jail? So it's not only having a gun, but you have to know the rights of other people. Because that person that broke into my house in the middle of the night, guess what? Maybe that person was drunk and they thought that was in their house. So if I just shoot you because you break into, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to jail. So there's consequences of just not having a gun. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't take you. I hope I didn't go off.
No, it's very instructive. I thank you for it. It's very instructive.
People have to know.
I want to ask you about in these last two mass killings that the nation has been talking about. One involved a white shooter, allegedly. The white shooter, he owned up to it. And the victims, for the most part, were Asian women. In the second instance in Colorado, we have a Syrian gunman. And we have, among the 10 who are dead, an interesting racial mix. Does this trigger, pardon the pun about trigger, but does this cause you to take a closer look at these dynamics as if perhaps you would learn something or there's something to be revealed here?
Well, if we look at the second, a massacre, what the information tells me so far, they're saying that this gentleman, right, had mental problems, okay? And he had mental issues. Okay, I didn't read the paper this morning, okay? But as of yesterday, they said he had mental issues. So if he has mental problems and he has a gun, okay, you know what I'm saying? That's an open invitation for mass murder. And there's so many people that have mental issues and still have access to guns. If you have if you're taking any kind of psychiatric medication, okay, and you have a gun, you have to have that gun removed from you because it alters your personality and your thinking, and you're thinking irrational. You might think you're doing something in a dream when it's a reality of what you're doing. So if you have mental issues, remove the guns immediately. No questions asked. In the first shooting, I mean, I don't know whether this guy, you know, whether this person had a sexual dysfunctionality, you know, because it tells me, put it like this here, if you're going to go and target Asian females, if some of them, like they're saying, was sexual massage parlors, I can't say that, and I'm not going to say anything bad, you know, about the dead, but let's say it was, then if he prefers sexual, you know, he could have went to white massage parlors. He could have went to white prostitutes. So it was something that attracted him to the Asian female. So I don't know, or he could have been attracted to it. And now all of a sudden now because of Trump, the China virus, okay, and all this COVID could have changed them. So he could have loved them and then hated them. So we don't know. Or he could have just been a man, right, that has a sexual dysfunction and just took it out on the females. So, but the fact that it involved guns, it's easy to get guns and it's easy to commit murder. So to equate that, the only thing that equates it is that both of them committed murder and both of them had guns. But and of course, both of them have psychological problems. The second one, people are saying that he had mental issues. I'm sorry, I hope I didn't mess up to the answer.
No. You did very, very well, and I thank you. You conducted a mini class with us today. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I just want to say one last thing, too. Those that are able to legally get weapons, I would say before you do anything, please take classes because it's very, very important. Anytime you handle a gun, always assume that it's loaded, even if you think you unloaded it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your call in today. Duke from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrice, how you doing?
Okay, Duke, how are you?
Okay, I haven't called in a while, but I've been listening.
Okay.
You know.
So what
you
are your thoughts about this thing that is emerging, but we can't talk about it because it doesn't exist? The whole nation is a kind of denial about it. Not that these things actually occurred, but the dynamics that we believe very strongly were part of both mass killings, and nobody wants to talk about it too much. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think people are in denial. I think, you know, it's a sad topic, but it's like one of those Pandora boxes that's been opened, and it can never be closed. You know, I can remember, a decade ago or so when that situation happened with the young kids in Connecticut. What was that, Sandy Hook?
Yes.
And the age of those children, you know, these was babies pretty much. I don't think the oldest one was even 10 years old. And I can remember we're talking about almost 10 years ago. And I can remember when that happened, I thought to myself, you know what, Duke? I think I better go and get myself a gun. And the reason why I thought that was because I knew that if these people weren't going to do anything about this problem, if they allowed their children to be killed like that, babies, then there's no solution to this problem. And that's really what I think. There is no solution to this problem. The number that you gave in the beginning, where you said the number of firearms compared to the population, I think your numbers are way off. There's way more firearms out in society than is on record. You know, right now, you could make your own firearm from a 3D printer. I mean, you can make a weapon that will kill people. So we could talk on and on and on about this issue. There's no solution to this, unfortunately, Utrice. The gun is something that I just don't know what to say. You know, there is no answer.
Why are you saying that you don't think there is a solution?
There is no
solution. Why do you say that?
Because there's no law that could be passed anywhere on planet Earth that's going to make all of these weapons and all of this ammunition disappear. So that means the tool is out there somewhere, and the ammunition is out there. So even if they stop manufacturing, let's say the government said, okay, we're going to stop the manufacture of firearms in America. There are still so many weapons out there, like you just said, that everybody in the country, from child to senior citizen, would be able to find a gun. So there's no solution to this. And the only thing you can do is, I mean, I hate to say it, is have a firearm yourself as some kind of protection. I mean, it's just such a messed up situation. When I heard about these 3D weapons, I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yes, yes, I am.
When I heard about that, I just said, you know, it's, you know, the caller who just called right before me, he just said so casually that he was so, you know, he was curious, and he just went out and brought an AR-15. Utrice, an AR-15 is a military weapon.
It's an assault rifle. That's what it's, the AR stands for.
Exactly. Now, technically, they may not call it a military weapon, but it is. It's this particular situation that you brought up today is one of those situations for which, in my opinion, there is no solution. Unless some kind of technology comes about where firearms are somehow, if they find a way to somehow disable firearms somehow through technology, because that may be a possibility, that's really the only solution to this problem. Because I'm in Jersey City, right? Mm-hmm. And I live in the hood. I could go buy a Glock right now for about $200. Taped up. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if somebody used it before. But I know I could write this right up if I hang up this phone. I could go like maybe 5 blocks from where I'm talking to you, and with about $250, something around there, and buy a weapon. There's no solution to this problem, and it's just sad. And Sandy Hook, I think, just showed me that no matter what laws they pass, this is just something that we're going to have to live with forever. There's never going to be a solution to solve this problem in terms of firearm killing. It's just sad. I'm sorry to be negative, but I got to be honest
about
it.
No. It is not negative at all. It is a very direct assessment that you're offering us, and it's a good thing because we need to be, pardon the pun, but we need to be confronted with as many dimensions of the truth as possible so that we can't say we didn't know or we never thought about this or we never thought about that. So I am grateful, as a matter of fact. I don't think it at all it is dismal or negative. It is a very sobering point that you have raised, and we should take it seriously.
Thank you so much
for calling in. Thank you. Okay. Murad from North Carolina, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you. I hope the same for you.
I'm doing all right, Utrice. Just listening to the show, long-time listener. This is, I think, maybe my second time calling in or something like that. The situation is definitely it's not a bright outlook. I would have to strongly agree, for the most part, with your last two callers. I myself am also a firearm owner, and I probably would own what some people might call an assault rifle as well. Luckily, I am very mentally stable, as far as I understand. So no worries there. I did want to actually make a quick correction. Far be it for me to try to correct the great Utrice Lee. The AR in the AR-15 actually stands for Armalite Rifle. It does not actually stand for assault rifle in that specific circumstance.
It stands for what?
Armalite rifle. Is what they
Armalite.
Call,
rifle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just made a note of that. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. No problem. But yeah, like I said, I agree very much with the last two callers. There are so many guns out here, guns, ammunition. You'd be extremely hard pressed to get all of that stuff just from the people who consider themselves legal gun owners. Most of these people, including myself, we spent, you know, more than what I would like to say, a substantial amount of money purchasing some of those things. And, you know, to be able to say, you know, if someone was to actually say, all right, we're going to take away all of your guns, I mean, just from the people who consider themselves law-abiding citizens, I think that would be a next to impossible endeavor. And then not to mention, you know, those who are what we would criminals, you know, who have the guns or, you know, and say they don't, and who are willing to commit crimes with those weapons. And it's the outlook is very poor. You know, we hear about these shootings, and it seems like, you know, every time you turn around, there's somebody else that's went out here and done something crazy. Especially in this country, it's really a rough situation. And I, like the last caller said, I don't really see an answer. I think my standpoint has always been protect yourself and your family to the best of your ability. And that's kind of the way I look at it nowadays.
But as a society, how do you see the gun, the factor of the gun, what is it doing in our society, even among people who legally own weapons, who are responsible gun owners and so forth? What has brought us to this point of contention and great concern about the capacity of individuals who own weapons to be responsible stewards of them?
I would say, if I had to sum it up fairly quickly, a lot of it would be fear. The people who have the guns, you know, and I hate to use a blanket statement for all firearm owners, because I don't believe it's the same for all of them. You know, for the longest time, they have it beat into their heads that the government is going to take your gun. Right? Like that's always what they've heard. So every time something happens, it's a scramble to go and buy more, because for some reason, you know, buy more kind of makes you feel good for whatever reason. And then for the people who are not gun owners, I think some of it is a lack of understanding of how firearms or certain firearms might operate. And I think a lot of it is a lack of communication as well. I believe the gentleman Victor said, and I might have the person wrong, we're not talking to each other, you know. We're not having, no, that wasn't Victor. I'm sorry. That was my thumbs guy. Hanging on.
Oh, that's
his
Ed.
Thumbs.
That's
yes,
Ed.
Ed. I have a great amount of respect for Ed. We're not having any debates, you know. It's you listen to certain stations in the media, and it's one side of the debate, and anybody who comes on for the other side is getting shouted down and drowned out. So there's no communication for us to even try to begin to find a path toward any type of a solution, because we're just not talking. I mean, you could say that probably for a lot of issues, but I think for firearms, that's one of the main things, is it's very difficult to have a conversation between the two sides.
Well, I want to thank you again. You had the last word today, and I just want to announce that it is possible that this conversation will continue tomorrow. I see we have quite an interest in the topic today, and it makes sense to continue tomorrow. But it makes sense only because of the people who call in and share their wisdom, they share their knowledge, they share their opinions openly and bravely with us, and we are the beneficiaries of that kind of generosity. So let's give space to it so that we could learn more and more and come to some more and more sane judgments and sane decisions about the issue. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening today and contributing. Let's meet up again tomorrow and see what we could talk about. Bye-bye.